This is St. Louis Public Radio. Support comes from Para Corporation, a general contractor seeking professionals who want to make a difference in the community. More at parac.com/careers.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking.
Hi, everybody. This is Jason Rosenbaum, a politics correspondent with St. Louis Public Radio. Earlier this week, Governor Mike Kehoe took a major step toward bringing the St. Louis Police Department back under state oversight. He appointed members of the St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners, who will oversee one of the region's largest law enforcement agencies. Kehoe contends that this setup will serve officers better than when the department was under the control of the St. Louis Mayor's Office.
And I believe these appointments mark a significant move towards transparency, collaboration, and a safer future for the city.
The state board's return after more than a decade away also means a stepped-up role for Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. His office will now be in charge of defending the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department in certain circumstances. I spoke with Bailey on Wednesday about what his office can and can't do in terms of legal representation. And I also asked him how his office will handle open records requests and asked for his response to skepticism from St. Louis residents about the new board. Here is my conversation with Attorney General Andrew Bailey. Mr. Attorney General, now that the St. Louis Police Department is under state control and Governor Kehoe has appointed the board members, can you explain what the Attorney General's role is in terms of representing the department?
Certainly. Yeah, our representation of the board and the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department is the same as any other state employee at this point. And it's guided under Chapter 105 by the Legal Expense Fund. And that legal expense fund is really the insurance policy for the state. So any claims enumerated in that statute that are in connection with the public officials' duties are covered by the LEF, and the state's law firm, the Missouri Attorney General's Office, defends those.
So is this a situation where you're going to have assistant attorneys general as the attorneys in specific instances where, and we'll get to this in a bit, but where like there's a lawsuit against the department, are there like actual criminal proceedings against police officers? Like, can you explain that aspect of it as well?
Yeah, certainly. When it comes to claims against law enforcement officers, my office already represents the Kansas City Police Department and the Missouri State Highway Patrol. And what I can tell you is that those claims often take two forms. Number one, there are civil rights actions under Section 42 USC 1983, the federal civil rights statutes for, you know, violation of search and seizure law, or, you know, a violation of the Miranda warning or things like that. And so sovereign immunity is really one of the central contested issues in those cases, and whether or not the officers violated well-established case law. The other context that we see these types of claims against these law enforcement agencies is really under the Missouri Human Rights Act, and that's for employment law claims. About 65% of the work my office does on the civil defense side as a whole is defense under the Missouri Human Rights Act. And certainly that includes our current two law enforcement clients, the Missouri State Highway Patrol and Kansas City Police Department. And we anticipate that'll be true with St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department as well.
My understanding, because I've seen this in situations where a police officer is criminally charged with something, and it's usually like, oh, you know, he is accused of manslaughter or murder, but it could be something like he's accused of stealing something from a suspect. That usually is handled not by like the city councilor, but by private attorneys. And is that going to be a similar situation if a police officer for the St. Louis Police Department is accused of a crime that could have a criminal penalty associated with it?
Yeah, the state of Missouri does not provide carte blanche criminal defense for state employees for any agency outside of the Missouri State Public Defender System for indigent criminal defendants. Separate instance. But yeah, those are claims raised by county prosecutors who are representing the state of Missouri in those criminal cases. And so the state is actually on the other side of those cases when they get filed.
How much is your office going to be involved in open records request related things? Because you have a role as someone who enforces open records laws when a governmental entity is not following them. But I also imagine that if you are representing somebody, that could get complicated in certain respects. So just lay that out there if you can.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the state of Missouri under Chapter 610, Missouri Sunshine Law, has empowered individuals to bring claims against public governmental bodies for violations of the public transparency laws. But it also empowers the Attorney General's office to be an enforcement mechanism. And it's something we take seriously. We filed numerous actions every year under Chapter 610 to hold public governmental bodies responsible to their transparency legal obligations. And that's going to be true in all instances. But what I would tell you is that, you know, by providing good client-oriented services, we'll be in constant contact with the custodian of records at the police department, ensuring that if they have questions, we're answering those questions, and that we're exporting best practices to all public governmental bodies, but especially those public governmental bodies that are our clients. We want to help our clients stay within compliance in the public transparency law.
Does your office make determinations about whether a record can be released to the public or not, or is that going to be still internally within the police department making that decision?
That's internal to the police department. You know, the statute requires every public governmental body to appoint at least one custodian of records who handles these records and then processes incoming requests and ensures that the body is complying with the open records law. And so it's going to be up to that custodian of records to make those determinations. But again, we stand ready to assist them and ensure that all of our clients are fulfilling their legal obligations.
Yeah, and I think this could be especially pertinent for police departments because there's definitely specific laws around releasing body camera footage, for instance. And there may be instances where a police department wants to do it because it may show that either the officer did everything right or they did everything wrong and they want to be transparent. Is your office going to be advising the police department on how to proceed specifically with body camera related stuff?
Well, again, you know, the police department already has built in policies and procedures and has already made determinations as it relates to body cam footage and all other investigative reports that we will be happy to assist them with if they ask us for assistance. And if we receive complaints from the public, we'll certainly work with our clients to ensure, again, that we're fulfilling our legal obligations. And look, these are tough decisions. You have to weigh victims' rights against the need for public transparency and the need for the integrity over a criminal investigation. So that's why those things sometimes get tricky.
Now, you mentioned the Legal Defense Fund. Can you kind of spell out, like, if a court says that the St. Louis Police Department or some of its officers did something wrong and is required to pay damages to somebody, where is that money coming from? How much money does your office have? And how is it going to be? Are you worried that since you already have to use that fund for a lot of other state governmental agencies, that you may end up needing the legislature to appropriate more money eventually?
Well, let me answer in reverse order there. You know, since taking office, my trial teams have obtained 9 complete defense verdicts, saving the state of Missouri more than $55 million of taxpayer money. That's $0 in those cases paid out of taxpayer resources. And so the Legal Expense Fund isn't actually housed in the Attorney General's budget. It's in the budget of the Office of Administration. The role that the Attorney General's office plays is really limited to the legal representation within the four corners of litigation filed against the state, officers of the state, employees of the state. And so that's really the decisions we'll make. I will say that when it comes to the Kansas City Police Department and the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, there are statutorily enumerated caps that cap the state's liability. And I do think it's an open question whether or not those caps need to be raised. I'm a firm believer in the notion that if the state is going to make police departments state employees and indemnify them, they need to do it so at the same level they're indemnifying all other state employees.
Now, I'm not an attorney, but I'm well aware that when you represent a client, you have to aggressively advocate for their interests at all times. But there could be situations where either there's like a conflict or you see a situation where the police department erred so much that you just feel like you can't ethically represent them. Is there anything in the new law that allows, like, you to step aside and for private attorneys to do that in those situations that I mentioned? It's not going to be a situation where you feel like the police department is in the right. Then you're going to, like, aggressively defend them. But there could be situations where you find, like, they really did something wrong and that you can't really, like, ethically defend them for some reason. So I talk about that point, which admittingly may not happen that often.
Let me say this. No one wants to hold a bad cop responsible more than good cops, because a bad cop undermines the integrity of the entire process and gives everybody a bad name. And so, you know, we don't see that as often. But what I would tell you is that we will vigorously defend those cases referred to us by the police department or the Board of Police Commissioners. And if they're not referring them to our office because they're referring them to outside counsel, then I wouldn't have any opportunity to offer a defense on those instances anyway. But there are several instances across my tenure in office where we've had a client agency that tendered a case to us, and we felt like the client had done had committed violations of the law. Was outside the bounds, and we go in and concede error, and we fix the problem. We work with our clients to get them into compliance. And again, I'm not talking about the police department in particular. I haven't seen that, but certainly when those instances appear, we're willing to take bold action to remedy the situation.
And this is kind of a mechanical or technical question, but under the new law, can the Board of Police Commissioners hire outside counsel, or could they say if they have a good working relationship with the city councilor's office and need them to come in, are they allowed to do that? Or are you the exclusive attorney for the St. Louis Police Department now?
Well, we're proud to be the law firm of the state of Missouri that includes all state employees, to include now the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. But at the end of the day, it's going to be up to the Board of Police Commissioners to determine which cases to send to us, which to send to the city councilor's office, and which ones they want to refer for outside counsel. Given the caps that the legislature has placed on the indemnification for the police officers, that does limit some of the liability that the state can cover. And so that is going to cause the board to have to make tough decisions. And that's why I want to work with the board and the legislature to understand the full breadth and depth of the need for indemnification and potentially get those caps removed.
I'm sure you probably know that plenty of St. Louisans are skeptical about having a state board to oversee the police department, and that it'll be a positive development for the city. I mean, there were all sorts of controversies and spikes in crime before the 10 years of mayoral control. I know that you are not responsible for appointing the board. That's the governor. But you are part of this process now. So what sort of assurances can you give to people in the city of St. Louis that this is going to be a system that is going to work for them and will make sure their city is safer?
Well, 2 points I want to submit for your consideration. Number one, the board is a little R Republican structure that removes the politics of City Hall from policing. And I think that's ultimately a good thing. We want our police officers to know they have predictable, consistent, competent civil representation from the state. And that's what I seek to provide. The second point I think that's important is Governor Kehoe's picks. I mean, he chose business leaders from the city of St. Louis, all of which are invested in the city. Their livelihoods, their families are depending on the success of the city. So everyone's rowing in the same direction. This isn't some prestigious appointment to a board that will provide them accolades. It requires them to put in elbow grease and work. And I think they want to do that. They want to identify efficiencies to improve the city, improve the region, and ultimately the state.
That was Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey talking about how his office will be involved in representing the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. For all of our stories on Missouri and St. Louis regional politics, go to stlpr.org. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, and thank you for listening. Politically Speaking is produced by Sarah Kellogg, Rachel Lipman, and me, Jason Rosenbaum. The show is edited by Fred Ehrlich. Read all of our coverage at stlpr.org. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Politically Speaking by searching the term Politically Speaking on Apple Podcasts. From St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.